Once again, as we look into the traditions of those who have come before us, we find that the ancient calendars and the verbal records, as well as the written records, almost universally, they pinpoint with tremendous accuracy this time in history. The Mayan calendar has been the source of tremendous study in recent years. The Mayan calendar, by some accounts, began over 18,000 years ago. It identifies these tremendous expanses, vast cycles of time, and the Mayan calendar ends in July of 1992. The Mayans said in July of 1992, time as you know it stops, and that there is a window of time, a 20-year period between 1992 and December of 2012, they called no time, and it's during that time that there is a final reshuffling. It's a reorganization of patterns of energy that determine what happens from that point forward. And I often share the story. I have to laugh each time I think about it. I had the opportunity to meet a Mayan holy man a few years ago, and I asked him what I felt was a very simple question. I said, if your ancestors had the wisdom and the insight and this tremendous technology, the systems of timekeeping, and you were so accurate, why don't we have a calendar from 1992 forward? Why don't we have a new system of timekeeping? And he laughed at me. He laughed at me when I asked him that question. He said, don't even try to build a new calendar because time will never seem the same to you again. You'll never perceive time the same again. And your body will never perceive time the same again. We clock time with our bodies biologically as well as with our logic. And he said, both of those are changing at this time in history. By the way, the Mayan traditions, in their accuracy, they predicted that the people of the earth, the cycles of the earth, would go into a period of darkness 500 years ago. And in terms of the Mayan traditions, we emerged from that darkness in May of 1996. May of 1996. So if some of you are listening to this and you feel that just within the last few years something has shifted and something has changed, it may account as the Mayan calendars were tied to solar and planetary and lunar cycles. And we know that each of our stars and our planets have vibratory patterns influencing the way we live in our world. Something changed, something converged at that point in history. And the Mayan traditions were not the only one. Perhaps one of the most interesting and one of the traditions that has been kept secret in tribal circles for so long was the prophecy of the Hopi. There is a rock in northern Arizona called Prophecy Rock outside the village of Oribe. And this rock has a very simple, very eloquent map to guide the people of peace. The name Hopi means people of peace, to guide them through several hundred years of tribulation to this time in history. And the image on the rock simply begins as two parallel paths running horizontal to the ground. Two parallel paths. One of the parallel paths, the one on top, eventually begins to curve upward with jagged lines, and it ends in a thundercloud with lightning and rain. The path on the bottom is a straight path and ends in a field of corn. Corn stalks are growing. Well, about two-thirds of the way from the left of these paths, two-thirds of the way over, moving to the right, there is a line that connects the two paths. And what the Hopi say is that these paths represent the possibilities that all humans of Earth may choose in their lives. One of the paths, the one on top, is the path of comfort, greed, and profit. And when I asked about this, profit particularly, it wasn't profit in terms of money. It was the profiting, us excelling in our lives at the expense of another. Okay, it's that kind of profit. If you have to walk over someone else to get where you're going, you've profited by someone else's pain. And that's the profit they were speaking of. So the upper path is the path of comfort, greed, and profit. The lower path is the path of love, wisdom, and compassion. Now, the upper path, very interesting, shows three humans standing side by side. They're drawn as stick figures. They have faces on the stick figures with hats on top of the faces. And each of the heads are separate from the bodies of the stick figures. So the head with the hat is shown, and then there's a space, and then the stick figure is drawn below. The people who walk the path, of comfort, greed, and profit, their heads aren't attached to their bodies in this image. And that path leads, it looks like a pretty good path to begin with, and eventually it gets kind of rocky and it breaks up and leads to some stormy weather and nowhere. The lower path is a straight path, and it ends in this field of corn, and it shows people tending the corn at an advanced age. They have a cane in their hands, they're bent over the corn, and they're saying that the path of love, wisdom, and compassion is the path that carries us gracefully along our lives in the presence of all the challenges that life may offer. And the interesting thing is that two-thirds of the way over, along these two paths, moving from the left to the right, there's this line in between. And the Hopi prophecy says that every human has the opportunity to go back and forth between these two paths. And they look very similar at first. Some people can be deceived. They look very similar. And we may make the choice to go back and forth between these two up until a certain time in history. And from that point forward, the choices are made. And it's very, very difficult to choose once again. If one has chosen the path of comfort, greed, and profit, beyond that point, it becomes more difficult to move into another choice. The Hopi share this now, and they say that we're very, very near this crucial point in history where we must choose. And the choice isn't always a conscious choice. We wake up in the morning and say, today I choose comfort, greed, and profit, or love, wisdom, and compassion. We make the choice in every moment of every day of our lives in the presence of one another. In each moment, we're reminded that we either affirm or deny life in our bodies. We affirm or deny life in our world, the gift of life in this world. In every moment, the cumulative choices at the end of the day for an individual pool into the collective choices of many individuals of a world, and that determines the path that that world follows. Isn't that interesting? The Hopi are so very clear that each of our lives, the events that we sense are insignificant, are of great significance. All through the American desert southwest, Chaco Canyon, northern New Mexico, there is a rock with a similar prophecy talking about moving through this time in history, showing the beings of this time holding the great spiral of life, and that the life is abundant in terms of the animals, domesticated and wild animals, food. It goes on to show children being conceived and born. Life is abundant after this period in time. Before this period in time, there can be some rough times, some tribulation, great cosmological events in the sky that now our own research is beginning to bear out, that perhaps some of the phenomenon that we're seeing, the cosmological phenomenon, are actually part of this. Even the Tibetans, they measure the great cycles of time following what we call yugas, Y-U-G-A-S, great expanses of time. We're presently in the Kali, K-A-L-I, Kali Yuga. And whatever is to happen from this point forward is being created right now. They can't tell us what it is because it hasn't been created yet. And even further, they view this lifetime as the crucial lifetime where the foundation for the new is being developed right now. They say that the prayers of the people of this time and the choices that we make in our lives are actually dictating the foundation for that which is yet to be. And this brings to mind that it's such an awe-inspiring possibility. In so many of these prophecies and the predictions, both oral and written, and the indigenous stories tell of a time of ending, of a time of completion. And while that is true in one perspective, the optimist in me identified with the optimist in the Tibetans. And they said, and I believe, and I say as well, if it is the close of this great cycle, and if it's the end of the Kali Yuga, and if it is the close of the Mayan calendar, and if this is the last century and the last decade at the end of this millennium, then it must be the birth of something brand new. It's the beginning of a new decade, of a new millennium, of a new cycle that doesn't even have a name yet in terms of the yugas. It doesn't even have a name as yet. The Mayans didn't even know what to call it. And they predicted time accurately for 18,000 years.